Father God, Lord, we come before you tonight. We're offering up the nation of the United States of America before your very throne, the nation of Israel before your very throne. And Father, we're asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, asking you to reveal any hidden works of darkness that may be in the lives of your people, the church. God, Lord Jesus, forgive us of any iniquities, transgressions, any sins, any attitudes or any presumptions or judgments whereby we may have become involved in ourselves or any part of sinful activities, Father God. And Holy Spirit, we're asking you to reveal any hidden works of darkness that may be in the lives of your people who are called by your name. And we're asking, Father God, for a purging, a purification. Cleanse your church, Father God, with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross. So, Father, as we come before you this morning with these petitions, we want to make sure we have clean hands and a pure heart. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking for the anointing to be upon me as I pray and upon these as they pray. While we pray for this nation, and while we pray for Israel, and while we pray for the world. Father, we come before you, and we acknowledge your answering of prayers that we've prayed before, and that you're moving and answering in response to our prayers, and I thank you. Thank you, Lord God. And we continue our prayers, Father God, asking that you render ineffective all the tactics that the enemy is employed, and that would be Satan, against your kingdom and your people here on this earth. We ask, Father God, that you continue to overrule and override all of those governmental edicts and tactics that are advancing Satan's agenda. We ask, Father God, to continue to destroy his platform of influence within the nations around the world. We're asking, Father God, that you do the same in the corporate world around the world, Father God, that you put into place in their positions of leadership men and women who are led, guided, and directed by your Holy Spirit. And we ask him, Father God, in the governmental systems around the world, put into position people in those leadership positions who are themselves men and women who has been bought and purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit operating in their lives. Lord, we ask for those people to be put in those positions of leadership, not only in governmental systems, but in the corporate world and in the churches, Father God. And I know we shouldn't have to be praying that you would put them in the churches, but Father God, there are hirelings in the church who are there for money, greed, and power. I'm asking God to remove those from their offices, and God, replace them with holy anointed men and women that you put into place to rule and govern in those churches that has been compromised. Father, I'm asking God to neutralize the leadership in the churches around the world that, Father God, are within a false religious system. Neutralize their influence and effect that they're having in the world, Father God. And we're asking God to deliver the people who are involved with false religious worship systems around the world. Remove them from those, Father God, and cause them to be directed to a Holy Ghost, godly, filled assembly, Father God, of true worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and you, Father God. We're asking for this. And to neutralize the individuals, Father God, who are in power and in positions of influence. We're asking God to neutralize those who are agents of Satan, not only in this nation, but around the world. We ask Father God for a Holy Ghost anointing that would sweep across the nations of the world, that would bring world revival, Father God, world revival. We're asking God to abolish all of these systems, of religious systems that are engineered in the world today that are meant to destroy the church. Neutralize their influence upon today's society. Neutralize, Father God, the effects that the Antichrist is having upon the world today. We're asking Father God to restore peace and harmony throughout the world. I'm asking Father God to give our current president, Donald Trump, the divine leadership, divine appointment, divine direction from you, Holy Spirit. May he constantly seek you, dear God, for direction, for Prime Minister Netanyahu. I'm asking Father God for the same, for a divine anointing upon the man, divine appointment, Father God, divine discernment, divine leadership, Father God, as he leads the nation of Israel. And Father God, I am asking to remove all the enemies of Israel that have encamped about the land, where the enemy has encamped, Father God. Remove them. Cause confusion upon them, just like you did with Gideon, Father God, as he come up against that massive army. Father God, with you nothing is impossible. So I'm asking Father God to intercede on behalf of Israel and root out all of their enemies, Father God. And I'm asking the same for the United States of America, Father God. Root out those enemy forces that have encamped and ingrained themselves throughout the cultures of the United States. Lord, I'm asking to deliver us from all the evil that is about in the United States and around the world. Father, only your word is the true word. I'm asking, Father God, that your word become commonplace throughout all of the world, throughout the United States, throughout Israel. Father God, that your word may be sought and followed. And Father God, give, O Lord God, your people who are called by your name a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Give them, Father God, a desire to want to do what you have called them to do. Open their eyes, Father God, to the calling that you have placed upon their lives. Open their eyes, Father God, to understand that there is a call upon their lives and that you will provide the provisions that they need and the direction that they seek, Father God, in the accomplishment of your will in their life. Father God, Lord, those who don't know Christ, I'm asking God to send a shepherd to them, Father God, who will explain the way of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. Father God, we all have friends who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or they may profess that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, but do not possess the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking God to give all of those within earshot an anointing to witness to their friends, God, that they would have the boldness that the Holy Spirit would give them to anoint them to share the gospel with their friends. Lord God, that we would see an outpouring of your Holy Spirit through our own witnessing process, Father God, that would draw people to the kingdom of God. So, Father, this is our prayer. I pray, Lord God, now anoint me as I bring the Bible study to these folks tonight, And I thank you, Lord, for this honor and this privilege of being able to freely pray unto you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Folks, if you recall, last week we were introduced to Gideon. This week we're going to continue on with him in chapter 7 of Judges. But most of us want to know what God's plan is for our lives. But we are not always sure how to find it. And there's a lot of common misunderstanding of the idea that God's guidance will come to us out of the blue, that it has nothing to do with what we are doing now. But if we're always looking around for God's next assignment, much of the time we will run the risk of ruining whatever we're working on right now. Fortunately, the Bible points to a kind of guidance that does not put our current projects in jeopardy. In the Bible's descriptions of how God guided many people, we can see that often God's call came while people were completely immersed in the challenge of the moment. A good example of this kind of guidance is seen in Gideon's life. Gideon had somewhat a limited vision, but he was committed to it. His challenge was to obtain food for his family, even though hostile invaders were making the growing, the gathering, and the preparation of the food almost an impossibility. Gideon was a resourceful type of individual. He put a wine press to double duty by turning it into a sunken threshing floor where he could thresh the wheat, but it lacked ventilation to blow the chaff away. But at least it was hidden from the Midianites. And Gideon was working in his threshing floor, if you recall, when the angel from God, the messenger from God, came to him with a challenge. And Gideon was surprised by what God had told him to do. He did not want to jump into the task for which he was ill-prepared, so he asked God for a fleece, if you recall. The angel had to overcome three objections before Gideon was convinced. Gideon's feelings of responsibility for his family's welfare, his doubts about the call itself, and his feelings of inadequacy for the job. Then once Gideon was convinced, he obeyed with zeal, with resourcefulness and speed. He dedicated those personality traits which God had given him, to whom now he was personally acquainted. So Gideon had his weak moments and his failures, just like we do, but he's still God's servant. If you can easily see yourself in Gideon's weaknesses, you can see yourself also being willing to serve. Remember, Gideon, as a man who obeyed God by giving his attention to the task at hand. Give your full attention to believe in God will prepare you for tomorrow when it comes. So let's look at chapter 7, where Gideon defeats these Midianites. I think I may just read the whole chapter, then we'll come back and talk and discuss particular items of that chapter. Early in the morning, Zerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all of his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of the Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her." Verse 3. "Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. If I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap water with their tongues like dogs from those who kneel down to drink." 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. Verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give you the Midianites into your hands. Let the other men go, each to his own place." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. And during the night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. Verse 12, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in a valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sands on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be none other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." Verse 15, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of them all, with torches inside of them. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all you who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets, broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, and grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hand the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah near Tabath. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh were called out, And they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill countries of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Barah. So the men of Ephraim were called out, and they took the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth Barah. They also captured two Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. So as we start out in chapter 7 here, we come upon a spring called the Spring of Harod. And this is also known as the Gideon Spring. This is where the famous battle took place between Gideon and his 300 men and the Midianites, who were likened to the number of the sands of the sea. All the places that are mentioned in the Bible surrounding this can be found in this vicinity here. The hill of Moreh, where the Midianites camped, the Midianite camp, the Jezreel Valley, the battle area, Gideon Spring, where Gideon chose the 300 men for battle, the Gilboa Mountains, where the Israelites hid out. All of this location were right there around the surrounding areas. Gideon Spring is also known as the Harod Spring, is located in the fertile Jezreel Valley. This is about 26 miles from the Mediterranean Sea and about 17 miles south of the Sea of Galilee. Just to the south of Gideon Spring are the Gilboa Mountains. So God commanded Gideon to choose 300 people for the battle so that he, that is God, gets all the glory for the victory. Judges 7, 1 through 7 there. Then Zerubbabel, which was Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early in the morning and encamped beside this spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was to the north of them and by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, said, the people that you have, there's too many of them to give into the hands of the Midianites. So, you know, if I let you do this, then the people will boast, saying that, hey, these were delivered by our own hands. So the Lord is saying, I'm going to cut your troops back. And he's saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, go home, return home. Hurry, get out of the way here from the Mount Gilead. So 22,000 of these people returned, and that left 10,000. And then the Lord said to Gideon, hey, there's still too many people here, Gideon. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And anyone who I say to you, this one will go with you, he will go with you. If you say he shall not go, then he won't go with you. So he brought the people to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you should set him to one side. Likewise, everybody that kneels down to drink, and then you should set them aside. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to the mouth, was 300. The rest of the people knelt down to drink the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with these 300 men who lapped the water like the dogs, I will give the hands of the Midianites into you and let everybody else go home. So there's several takes on this. Many say that these 300 who lapped the water in their hands like a dog, they were vigilant and watchful, while the others had just got down and drank from this area on their hands and knees, put themselves vulnerable for the enemy so God couldn't use them. There's others that believe that those who lapped like dogs, they were a less civilized type of a people. And this would bring even more glory to God. I don't know the answer, but those are some options that you have. I prefer to believe that myself, I would think those were vigilant enough looking around while they were drinking. It's like the wild animals when they come down to the water place. They're constantly vigil. They're looking. You know, they will take a drink and then all, they're right back up looking around, looking all over the place. So who knows, but there's the instances that I've given you that could be the possibilities. The size of this army that Gideon was fixing to go up against was enormous. It was enormous. Judges 7:12 says, "The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley, and they were numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sands of the seashore." So this is a big, big army, folks. It's not some small undertaking here. And God comes to Gideon, and God allows Gideon to go down and visit the camp of the opposing army to be assured of the victory. Judges 7:13-14, "When Gideon came, behold, there was a man there who had a dream, and he was telling his friend about this dream, and he said, 'Hey, I had this dream, and I saw a loaf of barley bread tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat.' His friend replied to him, he said, 'Well, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, that God has given Midian and all the camp into his hands.'" So when Gideon heard this, he thanked the Lord and was encouraged and went back into the camp. And then verses 15 through 25, "As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and his interpretation, he worshiped God, and he returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, get up. The Lord of the host has given Midian into your hand.' So he divided these 300 men that he had into companies of three." In other words, there was three companies of 100 men each. "And he put trumpets into their hands, and all of them empty jars." And these were empty earthen jars, like clay jars. And within these clay jars, inside of them, they had put torches. No doubt, not only it protected these torches from the wind blowing them out, but also it protected these torches from shining their light. So when they were sneaking up around this enemy's camp, they would not have seen the lights from those torches. So that's why they were in these earthen jars. That was one reason. So Gideon says, "When I come to the outskirts of this camp, you do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, and all of these that are with me, then they will blow their trumpets, and also on every side of the camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." So Gideon takes 100 men with him to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning. And it was at the beginning of the middle watch, which correlates to about 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. And they had just set the watch. In other words, they had changed the guard. They just set a new watch. And Gideon is telling them, "We're going to go up here, and when you hear me blow the trumpets and smash this jar, I want you to do the same." And visualize this. They were all encamped around, encircled around the camp of Midian. Now, think about this. Here they are. They're camped around about them. Total darkness. They don't see nothing. And all of these thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of soldiers down there in that valley. And now Midian has these 300 men has encircled the camp. And they're down there sleeping. And all of a sudden, they hear this cracking of these jars and the blowing of the trumpets and the shouting for the Lord and for Gideon. And then all of a sudden they see these lights totally surrounding their encampment. And no doubt they would think there's probably a legion behind every light. When in fact, in reality, it was just one man. But this confused and scared these troops that were down there, that they cried out and they fled. And when they blew these trumpets, these 300, and the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade, against all the army, and the army fled as far as Bethshittah, toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abi-Milah, and Tabath. These are cities by the Jordan River directly east. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali and from Asher and Manasseh, and they pursued after Midian. So, what's happened, when this happened, the Lord caused confusion to these troops down there in the valley. And as they got up, they went running with confusion, and they cried and fled, and all the time taking their sword and thinking they were under attack, were actually killing their own brethren, their own troops. And then, as they were running, Midian called for reinforcements from Asher and from Naphtali and from Manasseh. And he sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, telling them, come down against these Midianites, capture the waters against them as far as Beth-Am or Beth-Barah and also the Jordan. So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they captured the waters of Beth-Barah, also the Jordan. And they captured the two princesses at Midian, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb. Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. Then they pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan. So what can we learn here from this Gideon spring where he was at? Well, we can learn that God sent oppression to get the attention of the Israelites when they had fallen away again from him. And lots of times he often sends us problems to get our attention as well, doesn't he? Has that ever happened to you? Something happened to you, maybe through your health or something around your circumstances and situations, and you realize, hey, God's trying to get my attention. And maybe it's because I've grown cold in my spirit toward him, or not serving him like I once did, or I've walked away from the calling that he had on my life. Number two, God often puts us in difficult situations, so he gets all the glory when he helps us with our problems. We, like the Israelites, can worship idols as well. We don't like to think of that, do we? But an idol is anything that distracts us from our time and attention on God. What is distracting you away from God at this time in your life? Is it the cell phone? Are you constantly on your cell phone, watching movies and entertainment through the media, but you don't have time to get alone with God and read his word? Has that cell phone become an idol to you? Well, we should look at the size of our God rather than the size of our difficulties. God delights in our faith, but he's grieved by the lack of it. God chooses the weak things to show his glory. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. So no man may boast before God. That was 1 Corinthians 27 through 29. Even if we have weaknesses, God can use us if we trust and follow him. So self-sufficiency is an enemy when it causes us to believe we can always do what needs to be done in our own strength. So to prevent this attitude amongst Gideon and his soldiers, God reduced their number from 32,000 to 300. And with an army that small, the men could not take credit for what God was going to do. And just like Gideon, we must recognize the danger of fighting in our own strength. And we can be confident of victory only if we put our confidence in God and not ourselves. Facing overwhelming odds, Gideon was afraid. God understood his fear, but he didn't excuse Gideon from his task. Instead, he allowed Gideon to slip into the enemy's camp and overhear a conversation that would give him the courage he needed. God can give you and me the strength that we need for any situation. And don't be startled by the way that God may help you. Like Gideon, you must listen to God and be ready to take the first step. Only after you begin to obey God and you find the courage to move ahead. The Midianites were camel-riding marauders. They composed of five families linked to Abraham through Midian. The son of Abraham's second wife, Keturah. They inhabited the desert regions from the Dead Sea to the Red Sea. And this enemy soldier that had this dream of a barley bread tumbling into the camp, barley grain was only half the value of a loaf of wheat bread, and the bread made from it was considered inferior when it was made with barley. In the same way that Israel's tiny band of men was considered inferior to the vast forces of the Midian and Amalekites. But God would make the underdog, the Israelites, seem invincible. The night was divided into three watches. Beginning in the middle watch would have been around 10 p.m. Gideon's army simply watched the army of Midian as they fell into panic, confusion, and disordered retreat. No one man had to draw a sword to defeat this army. Gideon's small army could have brought about such a victory? No, I don't think so. Not in their own strength anyway. But God wanted to demonstrate to Israel that victory depends not on strength of numbers, but on obedience and commitment to him. Well, folks, that wraps up our study in Judges chapter 7. Next week, we will get into Judges chapter 8. But let me pray for you before we close out here. Father, I thank you for the privilege. I thank you for the honor of being able to teach from your word. Thank you, God, for the gift of teaching. And I'm asking, Father, to take this word that these folks heard tonight on Judges chapter 7. And maybe they can see some of the faults that Gideon had within their own selves. And then maybe they can see, Father God, that with you, how the strength can come. and how the victories can be won through you and not through self-effort. And Father, I'm asking God to open the heart of your people that they may understand your word, Father God, that it's not by their might, Father God, but it's by your Spirit, and it's through you, Father God, and their obedience to you and their reliance upon you in all things, in the battles of life that they will suffer, have suffered, or will suffer. And Father, I'm asking to give them the strength from you. And Lord, give them the wherewithal to understand and know that it's not within their own selves or their own strength that the battles are won, but Father God, only through you. And I'm asking Father God to give them strength, courage to fight the battles, but only through you, Father God. Through prayer, Lord, may they ask for this strength and the anointing to overcome the circumstances and the situations what they are going through in life. And Father, I'm asking you to bless these people who heard these words of wisdom here tonight from your word. God, bless them with a greater increasing understanding of your word. Increase them in knowledge and wisdom, Father God, of your word. And Lord, give them the wherewithal to be about your business. And Father God, give them the strength and encouragement that they need to do what you have called them to do. And Father, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice who heard this Bible study tonight, Father God, would seek your will for their lives, Father God. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you, Father God, for gathering around, Father God, your word in the book of Judges. So thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, folks, until we do this again next week, it's Pastor Gene saying God bless you and yours real good. Good night.